This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who believes a penny saved isn't jack sh**, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining me for hour number two of this Tuesday edition of Nightlight in beautiful 80-degree Wisconsin. Yes, we are all going to die, but let's enjoy it in the meantime. It feels amazing. From the 608, Dave checks in on our question of the night, which is, what is too old? What is too old of an age to trick-or-treat? And Dave says, I'm 59 and have been renting a kid since my girls moved away 9 years ago. Creepy. It's all about the candy. All right, that's better. My girls went until they were 18. All right. No judgment, Dave. Sounds good. And very creative to keep the candy flow coming your way. From the 414, Brian in Milwaukee says, Brian from Milwaukee. All right. I'm guessing there's a text part of that missing, Conrad. Let's see if we can track down Brian's text. All right. So this is exciting. I've got an old friend about to join me here on the show for the first time. He is a comedian and a writer and an actor and teaches comedy, all sorts of things, and an all around good guy. And Wisconsin's one of Wisconsin's own, not the only Wisconsin's own, but one of Wisconsin's own and a good one. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Chwaba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood burning computer plugged into the
Amish. Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
It is delightful to be with you, brother. It's I heard nothing but great things about your show. I owe you an apology right off the bat.
Why?
When you did your fantastic, spectacular movie, Godfather Green Bay, I promised you that I would watch it. I've been meaning to. And I, last night I watched it for the first time.
No way.
Wow. I enjoyed it.
The pressure
Six
was
stars,
on.
Unbelievable. Oh, wow. But I cannot like it anymore. If you're listening and you have not seen the movie, Joe Keegan is a new hero of mine. I love every character in it. Not only because I'm a comedian, I just think you handle it so well. And Steve Seagrin, a wonderful talent. Mike Toomey is such a great actor. I didn't even recognize him as the sheriff, the pullover guy. And the gentleman who played Doug D-U-G, Thomas Lennon. Oh my gosh! So I work with that guy, a version of him, 147 times. Over my career.
Yeah, that was an easy character to write. But Tom is so great at improv. He added so much that I was like, at first I was nervous, but then it's so good. It's better than anything I could have written. So Tom was great. And all of our friends, Dobie, that were in the film, thank you, by the way, for your nice words. And thank you for
so sincere. Very much.
Well,
I honestly didn't know what to expect. For some reason, I knew I'd like it. I knew, okay, you're making it. That's good right there. But and plus, as a stand-up fan, your two favorite lines that you do, Jesus is coming, and what are you looking at? Both made the movie.
Did they really? I get your...
Yes.
There's parts of it I try to block out, and it's my own stand-up, but thank you.
Now, let me ask you this, though, because it was it as fun to make as it was to watch? Because there's a lot of pressure there. I watched those scenes. And these are not easy scenes to film.
No, it weren't. But you know what? And I'll be honest. It was a blast to make. Everything fell into place with Tony Goldwyn, Lauren Holly. We got Tom Lennon. There was another actor who's a great actor who... We had an offer out to for Tom's part, but he wanted to play Lance Barber's part. And as a result, we got Tom. So everything fell into place. The shooting went great. Post went great. Everything. And then we showed it in L.A. and Nia Vardalos was there and she showed up and she brought it to Tom Hanks's company. Everything worked out well, except when you try to get a film out there, it's very tough. Even if you think you execute it well, you still haven't done anything until you get eyes on it. So we did okay. We got, you know, it's kind of a cult thing, but I think we already had a video deal when Tom Hanks's company had seen it. So they were going to get behind it. They helped us do a buyer screening, but we already kind of had one deal that would have complicated things for them, but whatever. It was a great experience. And thank you for watching it and the nice words.
Well, one question though, I have just behind the scenes, whose license plate was Jaker? Someone had to get that through the state of Wisconsin. Was it yours? I mean, I noticed it's like, oh, now that's detail. And the front hubcap off of the Geo Metro. I, as a comic, had three Geo Metros. It's like, what a chef's kiss on the touch.
Oh, that's great.
Such a comedy car, man. And Mike Toomey's name on the road sign at the very end.
Yeah.
Comics coming.
It's the tip of my hat to Mike.
No, it was all magnificent.
Yeah, thank you.
You should be very proud of that.
And Jaker, I don't know where we got that license plate, but we used it. But I know that every Packer jersey, because we have people wearing Packer jerseys in it, we had to change the name by a letter to keep the NFL off our backs, because they'll come after you. Like, they are tough guys about that. Yeah, so we were kind of an attention to detail, but I have no idea about the license plate. There's so much going on there that I just had no idea about that kind of stuff. But
well, it's all great, man. Thank you, man. That's a highlight.
Much appreciated. Thank you. So it was nice that you just interviewed me on my own show there, Dobie.
On your own show.
I'll take the praise, but let's talk about you. How are you, man? How are you doing? I haven't seen you in so – I think the last time I saw you was in L.A. You were living with Keith Leslie. God rest his soul. One of the very funny, love Keith. He stayed at my place a couple times in Chicago. I went over to his house for dinner several times and his wife, Cheryl, when I worked Pittsburgh. Just love the guy. But you guys were living together, and I think that's the last time I saw you. And then you moved back.
Yeah, it's been a while. And, you know, in show business, people think, oh, you know, you're a comic. You only work a few minutes a day. But Paul Gilmartin, a comic we both know, said, L.A., there's no alarm clocks. Fear wakes you up early in the morning because you have bills to pay. And it's so true. And it was no disrespect or anything like that. It's just you got to make a living.
Yeah.
But, I was living with Keith. Had, like I said, a wife and family back in Pittsburgh. I had a tiny little apartment. And I just got fired from a radio job in Reno, Nevada. Now, I hold a distinction, Pete. I don't know how many times you've been fired. I've been fired in all four time zones, U.S. time zones. That's like hitting for the cycle in baseball.
Well,
it's like the triple, you know, mountain time zone when Salt Lake City, bingo. And there's three words in the radio business you never want to hear. Shut the door. Nothing good ever happens after those. They got your paperwork filled out and you're gone.
Did it come down? Was it the kind of thing where you had been fired in three time zones and you're like, well, I got to hit for the cycle. So you went and got a job at some podunk radio station and purposely got fired?
Well, the reason I went to Reno, it was a country station, and it's a complex story. I'll try to keep it short.
But yeah.
I have a book called Monkey in the Middle. It's a true story, a crime story. My best friend, since we were kids, robbed a bank that he used to work at,
and he robbed it twice.
He tried to blame one of them on me, and I had to wear a wire for the government to get him to confess that he did it.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not wearing a wire now. People want to ask that all the time. So the reason I took the radio job in Reno was the heat was coming down from the FBI, and I just didn't want to be around him anymore. So I took a job at a country radio station. This is what's wrong with radio. If a comedian from the Midwest gets a job in I didn't know Garth Brooks from Mel Brooks from anything. I took the job sight unseen just to get away. So I'm 2,000 miles away, and I owned a Geo Metro at the time. That's what's really funny when I saw your movie. So I'm living out there, and things are going really well. And then I got to shut the door in Reno, and it was shorter for me to move to L.A. than it was to come back to Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, okay, so I had someone that had an apartment, and it's like, well, I've just given it up. You want to get here in 3 days, you can have it. So this little deficiency apartment, it's on Wilshire and Fairfax, which sounds good in theory. So does communism. You know, living. It was a brutal apartment. So I moved in there, and Keith's like, I need a place to stay. It's like, buddy, you're my friend, but it's going to be really tight. And it was totally, really tight in there.
Did you guys sleep?
That's how I ended up in LA.
Did you sleep in the same bed like the Stooges?
Like the Stooges. You know, he inhaled and I snored, you know. Yeah, no, he was great. And then he was writing for Grace Under Fire.
At the time.
So, and I don't know if you know Brett Butler, if you ever met her. But
sure, I worked with her.
She was having some problems. And no offense to her. I believe she's helped herself and fixed herself. And it's not that I didn't like her, but she was very unstable. So she had a guest house. She invited us to basically live there rent free. And then she was, you know, I'm not a diagnostic person, but I told Keith, I said, if we go there, she's going to call the cops. We'll have no place to live. And he agreed. So we stayed in this little, you know, Texas bunkhouse.
Wow. Brett was so funny. I worked with her at Catch a Rising Star in St. Louis sometime in the 90s. And Mike Siegel too was on the show, and she was really fun to work with, but I know she had issues, and I know her tapings took a long time because Keith got me tickets to a taping when I first moved to LA, and I was like, whoa, free tickets to a taping. And then you realize it's kind of a hostage situation. You're there for 4 hours.
Can't leave.
And, but she is, I did see her in The Walking Dead, And she was good. She's so talented, you know, and
very talented and a sweet person too. Yeah. And she had personal problems like creative types, like all people do.
Sure.
And, you know, not judging her or bashing her or anything like that. But at that time it was very difficult. And she, like you said, we go to see the tapings and the opening comedian that was their warm-up person was not, he couldn't handle her. So I was just about to get the job through Keith. And they, of course, they canceled the show. They were going to bring another actress in, like the other Darren, because it was Carsey Werner was the show runner, and there was a lot of money invested, and she just was having problems. And it was sad because they would record a scene, and all the other actors nailed it, and she'd be too over the top. Then the next one, she'd be under. She was always the problem.
Wow.
And they do the same scene five or six times, and finally they said, okay, we're quitting for the day. It was very sad.
You just brought back a great memory for me. Keith brought me to the Carsey Werner Christmas party as his plus one.
Wow.
And those were always fun to go to when you went to one of those network parties. I was never a VIP at one, but I was always the guy who snuck in or tagged along. And you could just eat oysters or really good sushi. And they had like 20 valet guys lined up. And it was just a big to-do. It was so much fun. And I think Keith and I had like 85 martinis or something that night, but it was a really fun night. I miss him, but
he was a great guy.
Yeah,
totally great. He was writing for Jamie Kennedy for a while too. I don't know if he afterwards.
Jamie Kennedy, and then he wrote for an animated show. Oh, this is funny. I wish he were still around so I could tease him about this, because I remember him complaining. He was on some animated show where he told me one of the jokes they wrote. It was very funny, and it got picked up, then it got canceled, and he said it was because of this new show called Family Guy, which is terrible, no parameters. Like, he was ripping on Family Guy because it cost him money, which I totally get, but Family Guy obviously is still on the air now. So, Dope, let's jump in. Is there more to that story about you being blamed for a bank robbery? Is there, because we could pick up with that after a short break, or we could move on. I got a lot to ask.
Well, how about this? It's been out for about 6 or 7 years now. If any of your wonderfully smart, good-looking listeners would like a copy, I sent Conrad, your producer, a PDF file. And I'm thinking, okay, if you want one, you're listening, you heard me on Pete's show, Nightlight, send me Dobie J. Maxwell.
Wow.
J is for genius, D-O-B-I-E, at gmail.com. I will send you a copy. People always, they read it and they'll either say, it was $20 plus shipping. If that's what it is. If you read it and don't pay me, it's not the end of the world. It gets my legend out. So it's a free bonus. If you want to read it, I sent your buddy one. I'll send you a hard copy if you want to. But it's a great story. I didn't consider myself a writer. It's one of those things where your best friend puts you in federal court to testify. It's a horrible story when it was happening. It took me 20 years to write it because it was so painful in my soul to go in there. But once I did, it just all flowed and people said, oh my God, this is a movie.
All right. And there you go, folks. You got Dobie's email. Hit him up if you want a copy of the book.
Yes.
We'll get the email again too after the break. But I got so much more to talk about with my guest, Dobie Maxwell, here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You've seen her dressed in blue.
From the 608, Steady Eddie checking in, says, Pete, thanks to you and Conrad for the radio firefighter drama. Yes, our Wabino volunteer fire trailer. We will play that again at the bottom of the hour if Dobie will indulge us. It's only about a minute long, Dobe. Hopefully you'll get a laugh out of it. But
Wabino too.
He says,
seriously.
Say that again.
My grandmother's from Wabino.
Oh, you're going to love this then, dude.
All right.
You're gonna
in the his house.
Eddie also says, what should be the age limit for trick-or-treating? This is one of the great questions of our time. Thank you, Eddie. Just behind, should the United States go with Kamala or the Donald? All right. We don't really get into that, but I think we know most Civic Media listeners who they might vote for. So that's great. So that should answer that question, Eddie. Being 71, I say 72 should be the cutoff date for trick-or-treaters. Dear listeners, if you happen to encounter a large, one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater knocking at your door on Halloween night, please be generous with the Snickers bars. Well done, Steadfast Edward, as usual. All right. My guest is Dobie Maxwell. He is a Wisconsin. Are you Wisconsin-based? You're a native, but
yes,
I know you've
lived
kind of all over.
I have. I'm in Bristol, the gateway to Paddock Lake.
Sweet.
It's about 10 minutes west of Kenosha. I live in here. My brother, sadly, he had a stroke, and I was living in Chicago area, and I'm originally from Milwaukee, so Kenosha area was right in between. So I moved here. My brother passed away, so I like it here. Small town. It's Mayberry, but I'm an hour from Chicago and an hour from Milwaukee.
Yeah,
so
that's a great. Like that's a great. We met, I think, at the Comedy Cafe, right?
Buddy, I'm trying to think where it was.
That was a great club on the east side there in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I have a legendary story about that, the owner there.
You have a legendary story about everyone.
I got a lot of legendary stories. This one is. He was an outlaw.
Yeah.
My father rolled with the outlaws. And most comedians are dented cans. I don't know. You're one of the most normal guys, and I mean that with love, man. I hope you had a functional family. But most comedians, read Charlie Chaplin's autobiography. You want to cheer up about your life? It's like, oh, alcoholics, nasty. So my dad was a biker, and my mom just abandoned our family. I have an older brother, older sister. I was raised by my grandparents. And just the bikers and outlaws and all that stuff just has a bad spot with me. So I had a nasty car accident on a week after my 30th birthday, and I almost died. I flipped a convertible over.
I remember.
I live in Wisconsin. What a dummy. I bought a convertible. I sure hope summer's on a weekend this year. Yeah. So I flipped. Some drunk driver fell asleep behind the wheel, and he hit an electric light pole in the worst part of Milwaukee, and he knocked a pole. It wasn't out of the socket. It was at an angle. So there's a live electric wire across six lanes of traffic. If you know Milwaukee, it's 19th and Capitol. Not a place you want to go to in the daytime. Bad area. So the wire, I didn't see it, and it hooked underneath my front bumper. I had a Mustang convertible and tire, and flipped the convertible upside down. And I slid for about four blocks, and I hit a mailbox, and I bounced off the steering wheel and the gear shift, and I broke my sternum twice.
Oh,
I broke my
gosh.
Jaw. I had to learn how to walk all over again. And I just never got along with JD, and they had a benefit for me. It's like, look, he wants me to die here. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't have a benefit. Well, it turns out he kept the money. And one thing, and I'm in, you know, intensive care. And I said, look, if I die here, I will haunt your family throughout eternity. If I live, I will get my revenge. This is the coldest of the cold. So sure enough, he had a heart attack. And a couple of years later, he was in the same intensive care unit that I was at the very same hospital. And I was in Nashville, Tennessee. This is about 1995. It was before the internet. And, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? No, he had a heart attack. Oh, is he dead? No, but he's in the same intensive care unit that you were. And, Pete, I know I should have been thankful that I survived it, and I wasn't. I was in Nashville. I went to the Kroger down there, and I bought a tub of Crisco and a pound of bacon and some sausage gravy and some Miracle Whip and some Cheese Whiz and a big old Hallmark card. I said, yeah, so-and-so, bleepity bleep, you spent my benefit money. Here's a little, you know, package. I'll see you in hell. And that just made it everywhere, buddy, coast to coast. And people, agents that didn't know my name, knew my name from that. And so I got a nickname from it, the Count of Mailing Crisco. And that has stuck to this day. And, of course, the story grows. That's what happened.
Right.
But the story has grown. So I was in his hospital room pinching his IV, and the cops had to take me out. It grew, you know. And that's not what happened at all.
Right.
He just passed away.
It's bad enough.
It's bad enough, man. I didn't. I wasn't, you know, it wasn't a cool thing to do. But it's just, I didn't think it would get out. It was a huge mistake. It's like whether Ozzy Osbourne bit the head off the bat or not doesn't matter. The perception is
correct
that he did it. You know, Richard Gere, that gerbil, whether it is there or not, I don't care. It's that. So the perception. So when you mentioned the Comedy Cafe, yes, it was a great club, but I was a limited participant. I'll put it that way.
That was the weirdest thing to me, Dobie, about stand-up is that you could have everybody, every club owner, half the comics love him, half the comics hate him. You know what I mean? Like he was this guy we're talking about. I won't mention his name.
I won't either.
He was always really good to me, but
good.
I know other comics, and just like I couldn't stand other club owners. a couple that stiffed me money during a snowstorm, and it's like, hey, I'm here. You have to pay me. Oh, no, we didn't do the show. I'm like, well, you canceled the show. That kind of thing. You get these arguments with these guys, and sure. It's just, all right, so let's take the cafe out of the equation. For you, what is your favorite? Actually, tell us how you got started. When did you know I'm going to do this and I think I can do stand-up comedy?
Well, actually, I didn't. I was a baseball player. I'm the only left-handed person in my family. Do you happen to be left-handed by chance?
No. Never.
Well, I'm the only one, only siblings, parents, grandparents, cousins, everybody. And it was a curse throughout life. But I was a pitcher. I loved baseball. And that's why I met my best buddy that robbed the bank. He was a baseball player, too.
Jeez.
And I was 20 years old. I had a tryout with the Kansas City Royals. They used to have a baseball academy, and they would go to all the other major league cities, which I thought was very smart, and hold tryouts right under the nose of all the teams. So I played on a city league team. I was the only white guy on an all-black baseball team, and I love those guys. There's a picture of me. It's like, can you spot me? And I'm the only chip in the cookie, like the comics. They were wonderful guys, and the coach said, look, I want to send you to All-Stars, and then you get a tryout out of that. So I got a tryout with the Royals. I thought, at least, you know what, if I can get a minor league contract and then just get out of Milwaukee, it would be great. And I didn't make it. I got a second look, but I didn't get signed. I'm thinking, well, what do I do now? I have no idea. So I looked in the Milwaukee Journal, and there was the accent section had a things to do thing. It said stand-up comedy, open mic. I had no idea what open mic was, but I knew what comedy. I'm pretty funny. Yeah. But in my mind, I'm picturing, oh, it's going to be about 3,000 or 4,000 people there. You know, it's going to be this huge arena packed with people. And
Dobie,
I walk in there.
Dobie.
No, not even me. I just wanted to go see the show. I wasn't even thinking about going up. I just wanted to go see it. So I walk in there and I count 7 people besides the bartender.
Oh, no.
I thought, oh, I'm in the wrong place. I go out, look at my car and look at the ad. No, this is the place. So by the time I walk back in, hey, good evening. We've got 7 of Milwaukee's funniest comedians. I was the only one besides the bartender that wasn't a comedian. And it was pathetic. I thought, these guys are horrible. I can do better than this. As the night went on, there was probably about 25 or 30 people.
Hey, Dope. At the end of it, Dope, let's pick up right there, okay? We got to do a quick thing here, and then let's pick up on the others. No worries. We're going to do some news here from the award-winning Civic Media News team. Then we're going to play our Wabino volunteer fire sketch, and then a lot more with Dobie Maxwell. You won't want to miss this. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
From the 818, Bridget says, 16. Once you can legally drive, I think trick-or-treating is over. Have fun, kids. 4 exclamation points. Bridget really wants the kids to have fun. All right, so my guest is Dobie Maxwell. He is hopefully not in a rush and can help me close the show here up until the top of the hour. Because are you good with that, Dobe? Or you have?
I'm here for you, Pete. I'm just thrilled to be on, buddy. I'm sorry, I was rambling before. I know about the hard, the bottom of the hour news. I should have asked you about that.
No. You're fine. I sometimes I just have to jump in because they'll get caught off anyway. I want you to pick up. But if you're okay with this, we're gonna play our. This is a sketch we made. It's our own version of the. The onslaught of fire shows, Chicago Fire, Fire PD, right. Fire sure. Country, 911, Tacoma Fire. Well, this is what we put together in response to all of that. A little encore performance. It's just a quick trailer. Here we go with Wabino Fire.
Looking for a show that'll keep you on the edge of your seat this fall? Check out Wabino Volunteer Fire.
Red, there's another huge spider in the crapper. When's that bug guy coming?
He's not. The mayor's cutting the department budget. You believe that?
These guys are the ones running toward a cat stuck in a tree when others run away. Two first responders who would give anything to have to respond.
I'll tell you what, it's a good thing those 9/11 terrorists targeted New York and not Wabino. I would have opened up a can of whoop-ass.
9/11? What happened?
Wabino Times film critic and bait shop owner Bud T-Bone McCracken calls it a gripping and poignant look at the lives of volunteer firefighters and says this weekend, Boneyard bait jigger bone grubs are half price.
What do you want to do for lunch today, man?
I don't know. We're out of cold cuts.
Be great if we had a Jimmy John's or a Subway.
Sure, they have a lot of downtime. That just makes them train harder to stay ready.
What are you doing?
Shuffle dancing. I'm taking a class at the Y.
What the hell's shuffle dancing?
For your information, it's a very popular dance form. You need to be really coordinated to do it. It helped me be a better firefighter. Check this out.
They'll do whatever it takes to stay focused in case they ever get a call.
Ha, Yahtzee. Suck it, Smokey.
Damn! What are you guys doing this weekend?
Packers have a bye. So the wife wants me to go stupid antiquing.
They want local arsonists to know one thing. Don't bother, because these guys are experts at handling the hose. This show is literally on fire. Well, not literally. Wabino Volunteer Fire. No cats were harmed in the filming of this sketch.
Suck it, Smokey.
All right. This is the perfect way to, and it's funny, when I was writing that, I thought of you because one of my favorite jokes is your Yahtzee cup joke. Do you remember that?
It's been such a long time that I did it.
You had so many dirty dishes in your sink.
Yeah, I had to get my Yahtzee cup out to get a clean cup to drink out of. Shake, shake, drink.
That's a great joke.
Thank you, buddy. I feel that way about yours. You know, Jesus is coming. It's like that's when comics mention other comics, a line or two will come up.
Isn't that funny? A lot of times you forget about the jokes you tell.
Yes.
And a friend will come up and say, and you'll go, what did I say again? Like, you just totally forget about it. Especially like if you don't do stand up regularly like me anymore. I've totally forgotten, you know, some of the jokes I used to do. So.
Well, you're always funny, man. A deadpan, a subtle delivery, like it. You are not a cookie cutter, and I love anything that I don't do. I'm a fan of. So
thank you, man.
Your ace is with me, brother.
Thank you.
That I get you booked in Cribbets.
Oh, I'm not ready for the big rooms. All right. So you grew up in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And you're writing a show about that, Dobie. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's called Schlitz Happened, an old Milwaukee blats from the Pabst.
Love it.
And I think it's, I was on cruise ships, which is a horrible existence. I don't recommend it to anybody. And people would always come up to me from Wisconsin, even before that, when I was on the road somewhere, oh, you're from Milwaukee. And they would mention things like, I don't know how much time you spent in Milwaukee, but George Webb is a diner chain only in Milwaukee.
Sure.
And Leon's and Frozen Custard and all those kind of places. And Albert the Alley Cat was a sock puppet that did the weather for years as a kid. And they've come up with all this stuff. And I was on a cruise ship one time. It was February and it was, you know, freezing back here. I said, hey, we're in the Caribbean. Why are we talking about Milwaukee? And I said, hey, Schlitz Happened. Oh, that's a good name for a show. I'm going to keep that. And I did it and it evolved. I've probably done it maybe 40 times. I did it at the Pottawatomie Casino.
Oh, nice.
And I thought it would be, okay, Milwaukee would be the main course and childhood would be the garnish. And I thought, no, it's now evolved where childhood is the main course. A lot of people have had painful childhoods. I don't get into doom and gloom, but it's just like, okay, my sister and I, she didn't talk to me for 20 years.
Whoa.
Siblings sometimes split up. We had a happy reunion. My grandmother was very German. I got my first hug from my grandparents raised me, my dad's parents. And my grandpa said, look, your dad, I tried reaching him. He was gone in the crib. I couldn't get to him. He was a biker and but you were on the peak of a house. So he would take me to Packer games. My grandma was just cold and icy and German. When's the last time you hugged a German, Pete? It's like, they're not warm. You're never going to see Klaus's comedy bunker in downtown Stuttgart. Kraut top does not exist. And so we had a happy ending. She hugged me when I was 37 and we had a really good reconciliation. So those are big stories. So I like to look at it as buffet style comedy. I can't get my whole life into a show, but you read the audience like the audible at the line of scrimmage for a quarterback. It's like, okay, this audience will buy this. I just did a show in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. And we sold out about 97 tickets in a 105-seat room. And it was the perfect size.
Nice.
And people came in there, and I was able to – many of them had grown up in Milwaukee, but some of them didn't. And I think it's just the emotion. As you get older, I mean, sometimes, you know, you still have issues that you haven't addressed. You know, I sat with – I don't know how your relationship was with your father, but most comedians did not get along with their father. I had a one-on-one with him. Could not have gone any worse. And, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, well, that's a hard thing, but I make it funny.
Right.
You'll say, man, all right, mine doesn't seem so bad. So therapy is expensive. My show is about $20. Discount family therapy on a couch.
There is a ton of drama in the lives of most comics. And that's what they do. Mm. They turn it into funny. I mean, comedy oftentimes, sadly, is other people's tragedy. It's funny when it happens to someone else, and they can spin it in a way that makes us feel better about our own sufferings or pain or whatever it is. I think that's the essence of a lot of comedy routines, wouldn't you say?
I couldn't agree more. There's heart and there's soul, and it's therapy for the comic. But people have said, man, I like to refer to it as we're dented cans. At high school, I had a job at a grocery store. The dented cans get penalized through no fault of their own. They're stuck in that cart in the back of the store. Everything that nobody wants goes in that cart. Misshapen fruits and vegetables, a zucchini with a goiter. They put it in the cart. They drop the flour, they put the duct tape around it, they put it in the cart. That's where the dented cans go too. And we have to struggle with that. And it's only been now in my, as geezerhood approaches, that I'm putting it all together mentally. And this is the best time in my life. I get up at 4 a.m, I exercise. I got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. I turned it around through diet and exercise. You know what I'm saying? Nice. I'm putting the show together. It was started out as a one-man show. I now have other people who are my age too. And they are Heidi Freebie, who works in Beaver Dam. She's a wife and a mom, and she talks about those kind of things. Newer at comedy, another guy named Jerry Grotus, who had a shot in Nashville as a singer, but he was in his mid-30s, and they wanted him to move to Nashville. He's from Madison, and he didn't want to do that. And he's been, you know, he talks about he's been married 3 times, and that happens too. So Schlitz happened. You know, it does to all those people. So they don't step on mine. So they mentor me in the business part of it. I mentor them in the comedy part of it. So we're like a band going out and touring. So we did our successful show in Beaver Dam. I want to do Krivitz. I want to do 100-seat. Oh, Lenny Bruce talked about he needed 100,000 people, and he didn't care about the. I need 10,000 people. 100 a show, Friday, Saturday, 50 weeks a year. You know, there Clover, you Prairie du Chien, all those kind of places, and those people will love you. And it's a clean show too. That's another thing. Dirty comedy does not offend me personally. It's a business decision. Same. Nobody wants to hear filth. I guess the people that do know where to go. You can go to Quick Trip and hear it in the line. You don't have to pay to see it. So, I mean, we don't drop any F-bombs. We talk about adult stuff, but it's not. Nobody says, oh, thank God it was clean.
Yeah, it's weird because when I started, everyone's like, we're clean. Whatever you do, we're clean. And there's something to be said for that because you can't get on TV, certainly right. Not at least late night, without having a clean act. But I never bought. I thought if people could be funny clean, then I don't care if they go dirty because I know they're funny. But if you can only do shock or dirty material to get laughs, that's when I was like, whatever, you know. But it doesn't. Where can people see the show, Dob? Are you doing it somewhere?
We're just putting it together right now. We did one in Beaver Dam, and thing is like, I know the show, the business part. That's why I'm working with Heidi and Jerry. They're helping. We're talking to venues and putting a sales letter together. Yes, between the craft fair and the baseball card show, can you put the comedy night in there once at a time? So, and no offense, I don't want to work the honky tonk joints like in your movie. And I don't mean because we've all worked there a thousand times, and no offense to that. I want to work in more theaters. People are coming out to see a show. And again, I'm not judging anybody else. I'm just looking for a niche as before the heart gives out and I'm in a home somewhere.
My guest is Dobie Maxwell, one of Wisconsin's own, a native son who has been doing comedy a long time and has lived all over the place and written books and done shows. And
where was your favorite place to live, Pete? Just curious. You lived all over too. We live in LA and Wisconsin and Chicago.
You know what? I honestly can't answer that because there's things I've liked everywhere I've lived. And one of the things that people kind of get offended at is when they say, well, the people here are the best people in the world. And sometimes I just go, no, they're not. They're just people. And right. You know them, so they're your favorite people. But those people are everywhere. So I grew up the first part of my life in Chicago. Love that city. Moved here. Have lifelong friends here. And we live in a beautiful area here. I love Wisconsin. It's my adopted home now. And I love being in LA too, just for work. You know, I couldn't have done some of the things I did if I didn't live there. So, and it was beautiful and I love the ocean. I couldn't, honestly, I've liked everywhere I've lived. And it's an honest to God answer.
Because you're a good guy. Absolutely true. I don't know if you know who Wayne Dyer is.
Love Wayne Dyer. Say,
what are the people like in the, you know, and if someone says, oh, they're jerks. That's you.
Right.
No, they're going to be, well, I'm moving. They're going to be like that where you go too. Same thing. You know, I get along with a lot of, you know, pretty much everybody. And same. Same thing. I lived in Reno, and Lansing, Michigan is not the garden spot of the world, but right. I have friends I still talk to there. So we same have, thing.
There are people where I live now in Marinette and in Menominee. They're like twin cities. Menominee is the city across the river in Michigan. So, mm-hmm. and there's this rivalry. And for the most part, people get along fine, but you would think sometimes the continental divide ran through Marinette, Menominee. People are like, well, they're different over there. It's like, what? What are you talking about?
They say soda. We say pop. Yeah. Can't talk to those people.
Exactly.
Well, I love Mickey Lou's. So any time it's got Mickey Lou's, I mean, I'm so glad you put that scene in the movie, too.
I was going to say, did you recognize Mickey Lou's?
I certainly did. Here's a quick story about Mickey Lou's. I don't hope you don't have any news coming up. Well, one of the first times I went there, it might have been you. It might have been another funny comedian named Gary Panch, who's from the area.
Oh, I know Gary. Sure.
He's a wonderful, nice funny guy. And I went into Mickey Lou's, and I was coming or going to a gig. I had to pull out a card, and the owner guy's like, "Oh, we don't take cards." I say, "Well, right. sir, I don't have." He goes, "Well, just pay me next time through." No. Here's my driver's license. I'll go to the time machine.
Time machine.
Yeah. I'll go to the time machine, whatever. And the guy was so cool about it. So now I know to have cash there, but he would have let me go. And it's like in Chicago, it's like, okay, I would have had my arm broken. I'd have been in the district. Okay. But yeah, so I paid the guy, and the best hamburgers are just the malts and the jukebox. I love that place.
Just the aesthetics of the place alone. It's such a throwback.
Eat.
They haven't up. Yeah, exactly. They haven't updated much in the way of where you eat. Dub, when we got to do another quick thing, but I want to ask you when we come back, if you got road stories and if your act, how your act played in big cities. Did it play better on the road than it did in big city? Well, I mean, it must have. Kidding, but no. Let's talk about road stories.
I got a great one. I got the all-time road
All right,
story.
Fantastic. We'll do that. Dobie Maxwell is here, and we're talking comedy. We're talking Wisconsin comedy, and we're talking life, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to have you with me. If you want to get in on our question of the night, it is what age is too old to trick or treat? Amanda says they can be any age and trick or treat at my door as long as they compliment my decorations and scaring attempts. So it's really not without a caveat, Amanda, but I know what you're saying. All right. So what is an age that is too late to trick or treat? Let us know at 855-752-4842. We'll have more coming up next with Dobie Maxwell on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Mike Desitel checks in and says, did Fonzie drive a Harley? Any famous bikes on display? We will talk about that tomorrow night with our good friend Mike Toomey as we give Henry Winkler some love on his birthday. Also tomorrow night on the show, Caitlin Shuchart from the Green Bay Film Festival. Thursday, Jenny Slate joins me from Parks and Rec and Bob's Burgers. And film critic Mariah Gates from RogerEbert.com will be here. So we have a few more minutes here with our good friend Dobie Maxwell, who is... We're talking comedy and stand-up and Wisconsin and all things. Dob, you said you had a road story. I would love to hear it.
Well, we all, I think, have been heckled in bad situations.
Indeed.
And your movie, it's a major part of your movie. And I was in Florida in a place called West Palm Beach at a comedy corner. I don't know if you ever worked down
there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Extra big club. And most clubs would say maybe 250 to 300. This is probably 500 to 600. Big club.
Yeah.
And I was a house MC for a while. There were owners down there let me go down there. So my birthday happens to be in March. So for February and March, I go down there. So that, and there was one in Fort Lauderdale. I would house MC, see baseball all day, and work with a lot of big acts. I met Billy Gardell, and just a lot of George Wallace was down there, Kevin James, a lot of people. So Rosie O'Donnell happened to be working in West Palm Beach. She had a house there. And they told me on Friday night, tomorrow night, Donald Trump is going to be coming in. And they're good friends with Rosie. And he wasn't obviously where he is now, but he was still a famous guy. So he was married to Marla Maples. That's how long ago it was. So they said, we're gonna bring him in when you're on stage. And it's a big club and it's a two-act show. And it's like wonderful. Like the club was great. So I'm doing really well. And about 15 minutes in, I see the back doors open. I see four people walk in. Turns out it was Trump, Marla Maples, and two bodyguards. Okay, they sit down, big little ruckus. I didn't make anything of it. I knew they were there, but nobody else did. About 3 minutes later, I hear, when are you going to get funny? It's Donald Trump. Gosh. I knew it was him. Nobody else did. And I'm not getting political, whatever you think of him, but he can be a little obnoxious.
Really?
So, and I said, look, I said, nobody knows who you are. I do. Why don't you just sit there and look stupid like you do at work all day long and let the workers handle things? I got this. We're cool. So he shuts up. About 3 minutes later, I'm doing well. He goes, I'm still waiting.
Oh my gosh.
So now the room stops and they don't know it's him. And the sound and light guy, for whatever reason, to this day, don't know why he did it. He turns on all the house lights. So now people are looking, it's Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump. You can just feel the buzz go through all this. So he, in that situation, grabs his bar napkin from his drink and holds it up like a white flag. Aha. Okay. Got me. Oh no, buddy. I said, heckling me in my situation is like tipping over a wheelchair saying, I kicked your, are you happy with yourself? When am I going to get funny? When are you going to finish that haircut you look like you got with an egg beater? You know, but I'm hitting them left and right. Buddy, if I would have had this on video, I would be a famous comedian. It would have gone viral. So I was probably a full 3 minutes. I'm thinking, I've got nothing to lose here. I am slamming them with haymakers left and right. Boom, boom, boom. I'd say, you know. And so finally, I said, nobody's here to see you or me. Rosie O'Donnell is the star of our show. Can I please bring Rosie up? So I brought her up like the WWE, like Hulk Hogan. She went up there and she just killed. So I was in the green room and one of the bodyguards came back. Oh, Mr. Trump thought you were very funny. I said, well, he could have come back here and told me that himself, but thanks. So it turns out that he didn't pay his bill. So he claims that he thought the bartender or the bodyguards were going to do it. The bodyguards thought he was going to do it. So it makes the paper the next day. Donald Trump goes to comedy club, doesn't pay his bill. So he sends a limo over, pays the bill, gives a $100 tip. And I happened to be talking to my buddy that worked with the Milwaukee Journal. And he said, hey, what's new? I said, well, I got heckled by Donald Trump last night. That's pretty cool. And it made the Milwaukee paper too. So it's total proof. And I'm thinking this is probably 1997, 1998, something like that. And as soon as he got elected, it's like, okay, now I got a story. So that's my next book is going to be, When Are You Going to Get Funny? Just comedy road
me,
stories.
When Are You Going to Get Funny? Colin, me and Donald Trump, our story. That's very funny.
Yeah, exactly. But Hey, hard to top that one.
Yeah, no kidding. We have about a minute left, though. Is there anyone you watch now that makes you laugh? Modern day guy? Who's funny that's out there that you like?
Buddy, I hate to say it, I don't watch a lot of comedy. I just don't want to be influenced by anybody. No disrespect. And I know that's probably a non-answer. Who's yours? I really don't have anybody, to be honest with you.
Pat McGann from Chicago, I think, is real funny. He's been on the show.
Absolutely.
I think Nate Bargatze's funny. There's some good ones out there. Hey, before we let you go, let's plug your podcast real quick. Put Your Funny Where Your Mouth Is. We didn't talk about that.
Put Your Funny Where Your Mouth Is with another funny comic named Vince Carone, who took my first class at Zany's way back when. And we have a lot of fun talking to the nuts and bolts of comedy, and we want to have you on too, and all those guys you just mentioned.
Love to do it. Buddy, thank you so much for your time tonight, Dobie. And good luck with all the shows and the book and everything you're working on. It sounds great, buddy.
I'm selling a kidney too on eBay, so look me up. Thank you, buddy.
All right, you got it. That's Dobie Maxwell. Keep an eye out for his show, Schlitz Happens. Sounds great. It's fun to reconnect with Dobie. So I plugged the guest for tomorrow. We have no more text. Do we have time to play Todd's Laugh?
Yeah, we do.
All right, this is Todd Michaels. He narrated the Wabino volunteer fire skit. He's got a great voice, and he couldn't keep it together while he was trying to read one of the lines. All right.
Wabino Times film critic and bait shop owner Ted T-Bone McCracken calls it a gripping and poignant look at the lives of volunteer firefighters and says this weekend, Boneyard Bait Jigger Bone Grubs are half price.
God, that made my day. I love that he left that on the file he sent me. That's so great. That's Todd Michaels. You can catch his work. He produces Mino and the Mayor here on WGBW and WISS every morning. Does a great job. And it's a fun show. Thank you for all your texts. Thank you to Dobie Maxwell. Thank you to Tim McCormick. Definitely got to check out the Harley Museum in Milwaukee. It's kind of a Milwaukee-based show. I don't know if you noticed that, Conrad.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back to do it tomorrow night all again. Caitlin Shuchart will be here, as I mentioned, and Mike Toomey talking about Henry Winkler. It's going to be a fun show. Thank you for being here, folks. This is fun. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I am Pete Schwabe saying good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.